It's here and now, and for many of us, the days are getting warmer and longer. Time to go out into the garden and get snockered. No, we are decidedly not for that, but our next guest says that harvesting a cocktail or two from the garden is not a bad idea, that every advance in horticultural science brought with it a corresponding uptick in the quality of our spirituous liquors. In fact, given the role that botanists play in creating the world's greatest drinks, Amy Stewart says it's a wonder that any are sober at all. It was a twist on the gin and tonic that got her thinking about all of this. Her subsequent book is The Drunken Botanist. We talked to her about her book on insects, and Amy Stewart now joins us from KHSU in Arcata, California, with some suggestions for summer drinks. And Amy, tell us about that gin and tonic.
This is a drink I made for a friend who I was trying to convert. He said that he wasn't into gin, and I said, you know, as a plant person, you can't not be into gin. There's so many interesting botanicals in the gin itself, but then I make a version of a gin and tonic that has muddled cucumbers.
Whoa. And muddled.
Muddled basically means mushed up in the bottom of a cocktail shaker. You can take a wooden spoon or, you know, a muddler if you have one, which looks like a miniature baseball bat. But basically, you're just mushing up cucumbers, maybe some basil or cilantro, and peppers, whether you like sweet peppers or hot peppers, either one, as long as they're fresh, along with some gin. Shake it up in a shaker and strain it, put in some tonic, add some more vegetables so that it looks pretty, you know, like little tomatoes or cucumbers. And it's a beautiful drink that just tastes like it tastes like the farmer's market in a glass. It's fantastic.
Well, and named after a Bolivian, Manuel Mamani.
Right. So, you know, here's the thing is that people really made enormous sacrifices to bring these plants to the rest of the world. In this case, the plant I'm talking about is the bark of the cinchona tree, and this is where quinine comes from. So quinine, you know, is a malaria treatment. So Europeans were really after it. And this particular guy that the drink is named after is somebody who was trying to smuggle it out of Latin America and get it to Europe and was imprisoned and died for his efforts. So we honor him with this drink.
This is Manuel Mamani. You toast him when you have this drink. And by the way, we'll have your recipes at hereandnow.org. But you mentioned quinine. Isn't that incredibly poisonous?
In the dose that you're going to get in a glass of tonic water, not at all.
It's just so interesting how you look at a drink so differently than someone else would. I mean, do you really look at a drink as a horticultural experiment?
Well, sure. I mean, really, if you walk into a bar or if you walk into a liquor store, everything you're looking at in every bottle is just a plant in liquid form. I'm not talking, of course, about the artificially flavored cocktail syrups and things like that. But beyond a few synthetic ingredients and the cheap stuff, it is nothing but this amazing blend of plants from around the world.
Well, let's look at your next suggestion. Staying with gin, this is the slow gin fizz, which some
Yes.
people think of as the soda of cocktails. But in yours, it's infused with the small, astringent fruit of the thorny blackthorn shrub.
Well, yeah, a lot of people don't even know what a sloe is, but sloe gin is gin that has been infused with sloes.
S-L-O-E.
Right. So this is a large, shrubby kind of hedgerow plant that grows throughout England, really grows everywhere in Europe. And the fruit is pretty tart on its own. It's not all that pleasant to just pick it right off the bush and eat it. But when you soak it in some gin with a little sugar, it just becomes fantastic.
I have to say, I'm a weekend wine person myself. And so mm-hmm. I was stunned at just how much there is to mixed drinks. You say a lot of distilleries are jealous of their formulas. So, for instance, take Pimm's number one. There's something called fenugreek in it, but you're not really sure it's there?
Right. Yeah. You know, the distillers want to protect their secret recipes. So there's a lot of secrecy and even mythology. You know, you'll hear these stories about, oh, our recipe was handed down to us from a footman who waited on King George, and then he was kidnapped and he gave it up for ransom. And, you know, these absurd stories. So a lot of times you sort of have to guess. But there is wide speculation that fenugreek is one of the spices that flavors Pimm's, which is a light liqueur made with gin, and it is, of course, the basis of the famous British summer drink, the Pimm's Cup.
Okay, so some companies doing this and distilling this fenugreek, what are you saying here? Should people be out foraging or growing some of these plants to try to make their own?
As the author of a book on poisonous plants as well, I'm so cautious about this. I really want people to remember that if you're a plant, you don't want to get eaten. So a lot of plants produce molecules that basically inflict pain and suffering on anyone who tries to eat them. And if you were to just pluck an unknown plant and drop it into alcohol, you're essentially extracting its active ingredients in a concentrated form. So please don't do that unless you know what you're working with. Obviously, if you've got raspberries in your garden, be my guest. I'm sure they'll be wonderful in some vodka or some rum. But if you're not sure what it is, don't take any chances.
Okay. Well, let's go to your Mai Tai, classic bar drink. It has rum. But one of the ingredients, let's see if I can pronounce this. It's spelled O-R-G-E-A-T. It's pronounced Orzat, something
that's,
like that?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
And what is that, and what role does that play in Mai Tai?
It's one of those kind of old recipes that turns up in Caribbean drinks, and it can have a lot of different things in it, but there's always a little citrus, and then there's usually some kind of warm spices, like maybe vanilla.
Almonds sometimes?
Right, right, yeah, and an almond base. And so it really gives cocktails, Caribbean cocktails, this depth that they wouldn't have otherwise. You know, a Caribbean cocktail can be kind of shallow, right? Nothing but fruit juice and rum. And a little orgeat syrup actually really rounds it out and makes it a more interesting drink.
Okay, so your Mai Tai, 1.5 ounces dark rum, 1/2 ounce of lime juice, 1/2 ounce curacao, or another orange liqueur, dash of simple syrup. Remind us what simple syrup is, because that plays into a lot of drinks.
It's just equal parts sugar and water that have been heated until the sugar melts, and then you allow it to cool. And the reason you do that is that it blends into the cocktail. If you just drop sugar in it, the individual granules don't melt, and they stay gritty.
Okay. So the dash of simple syrup, the dash of orgeat syrup that we just talked about, the maraschino cherry, and a wedge of pineapple. You know, as I read that recipe out, I'm reminded that everyone here was really annoyed that we did not have demonstrations of this particular segment, which we normally do. And I guess, Amy, are you sort of revealing a secret of the world of botanists? We always thought that you guys were down on hands and knees studying plants. Now we realize you're drinking them.
Right. You know, I have to say, among my friends in the horticulture world, I know some very adventurous drinkers, some of whom actually collect liqueurs around the world that relate to the plants that they specialize in. So I know a botanist who specializes in gentian root, which is this herb that grows in the Swiss Alps, and she collects liqueurs from all around the world that use gentian.
Well, I'm paging through. Here's a recipe that has pine from the pine tree. Here's another with fresh rosemary. Here's another with blessed thistle. So the point is, do it safely, but be more adventurous.
Sure. You know, there's probably not a fruit or an herb anywhere in the world that hasn't been made into alcohol at one time or another.
Amy Stewart, award-winning author of 6 books on the natural world, but also she and her husband have opened an antiquarian bookstore in Eureka, California. Eureka Books, check that out as well. Amy, thank you.
Thank you.
And again, for recipes from Amy's book, The Drunken Botanist, The Plants That Create the World's Great Drinks, go to hereandnow.org. We exit the stage to the tune Slow Gin Fizz. As a friend of mine says, it must be cocktail hour somewhere in the world. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again. Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.